the back.
You did the Captain Malika mistake.
Back in 1693, the people of Salem, Massachusetts.
Witches!
Yes?
Thought they got rid of the Sanderson sisters for good.
We shall be back!
300 years later, it's Halloween Eve, and they're back.
We are home!
Are you broads a little old to be trick-or-treating?
We're talking about three ancient hags versus the 20th century. How bad can it be?
Now they're digging up old friends. And running amok. Looking for the one thing they miss most.
You stay for supper.
I'm not hungry.
But we are.
Only one boy has the power to stop them.
Prepare to die again!
You have no powers here, you fool!
Before all Salem falls under their spell.
Hello, you!
Disney Pictures presents Bette Midler.
Hello.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Would thou dance with me?
And Kathy Najimy. Hocus Pocus.
Into the night!
They love to fly. And it shows.
Good night. Sleep tight. No screaming.
Was ready to talk about Hocus Pocus and the Illuminati. That's right, today we're doing the Hocus Pocus film analysis, the long-awaited, albeit a week overdue, since we're in November. But the reason why, it's going to be worth it, okay? Here's why it took me so long, because I had to get a couple of books to confirm some pretty gnarly ideas. And I'm going to prove to you that the creators of this movie, Disney, right, modeled the tale after actual satanic rituals. Worse yet, satanic rituals involving the kids. The adrenochrome, yes, we're back at it. Back at it again. So I am going to, as most of my film analysis go, I'm going to discuss the background of this movie, who's in it, should you watch it. Then we're going to go through the whole movie, so plot spoilers coming, as if you haven't seen Hocus Pocus already. And then we're going to go deep in the conclusion into the satanic philosophy of why this happened. Okay? What is Hocus Pocus? Well, it's a movie from 1993, a Disney film. And oddly, it was released in July of 93, not like September, October. Should you watch it? It's the question I always ask. Should you watch this movie? No, it's terrible. It's garbage. But people love it. It's a nostalgic thing for 80s and 90s girls, right? They loved it growing up. So it's part of pop culture history, though, right? So it's worth it for that. For a guy like me, it's terrible. I hate it. But it is only 96 minutes, so there's that. I mean, they wrapped it up in an hour and a half, which is great. Can't complain about that. And shout out to Josie's sister for the request on this one. As much as I hated this idea of doing a film analysis on this movie, I contemplated it, and I thought, you know what? There's a whole generation of girls from the 80s and 90s that need to hear this. And sure enough, once I dug deep, and look, I'm going to tell you some things that's going to blow your mind, unless you've heard it before, but I highly, highly doubt anyone's gone through the extent that I have reading through the actual, I bought the actual Hocus Pocus spellbook text. Then I bought this, the complete book of spells, ceremonies, and magic, which goes through satanic rituals, which I'm going to show you definitively one of the Latin incantations in the film is a satanic ritual. I mean, so there's that, right? And in honor of all the 80s, 90s girls, I am drinking some pumpkin spice tea, right? Now, who's in this movie? Bette Midler, of course. I thought she was... Is she dead? I thought she was dead. She's not dead anymore. dead anymore. You know what I mean. I thought she was dead. She's still alive, okay? Sarah Jessica Parker. Made famous, most famous, for Sex and the City. And it was curious on my Instagram. I ran a poll on September 30th. I said, is she hot or is she not? And first off, some of the funniest comments I've ever read. Florida man, some guy, I'll call him Florida man. He told me it was the most misogynist thing I've ever posted. And lots of people said she looked like a foot. But overwhelmingly, you all told me, no, she's not hot. And I couldn't believe it. And it was 80% voted not hot. I think she's hot. I don't know. Especially in this movie, she looks good. I mean, I don't know what you guys are looking for. You're looking for perfection, maybe? I appreciate a girl with a big old schnoz or whatever. So anyway, she was originally, her first debut was in Flight of the Navigator, which I covered in my second Alien book, Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult, Use Your Illusion 2. She was in Footloose, Honeymoon in Vegas, with Nick Cage, with the great Nick Cage. Her background, she grew up pretty poor, it looks like, which I can respect. And here's what's interesting from the Wikipedia. It says, Sarah Jessica Parker's mother is German and English, though her mother, Parker, is descended from Esther Elwell, one of the accused during the Salem witch trials. And you're going to find, I'm going to prove to you, this whole film, the casting of this film was done specifically as a ritualistic idea of actual bloodlines connected to this Salem witchcraft ordeal, right? But we're coming back to that. You got to stay tuned to this whole show. I'm going to blow your minds. Kathy Najimy, she's the third person, the third witch. She's like a vegan feminist. She's going hard in the paint with the charities and the PETA. Gloria Steinem officiated her marriage ceremony. Woke levels on fleek. She's mega granola woke. Penny Marshall is the character who plays Medusa Lady. She's the wife of the guy dressed up as the devil in the movie. Otherwise known as Laverne from Laverne and Shirley. But the most important actor in the show, the actress, excuse me, Vanessa Shaw. Why? She plays the role of Allison, the female little boo thing for Max. She was also in Eyes Wide Shut with the great Tom Cruise. She plays Domino. And if you listen to, I did six episodes on Eyes Wide Shut. Amazing deep dive. Connections upon connections, and we could easily connect those ideas into this film analysis because the short version, if you don't want to listen to 8 hours of Eyes Wide Shut, Kubrick modeled the Gnostic orgy after an actual occult ritual, much like you're going to find with Hocus Pocus. And in the text that he underlined, he personally underlined this text about using kids for this stuff. So check out my show on that if you want more. Another interesting thing, Leonardo DiCaprio was almost in this film as Max. The greatest actor, Leonardo DiCaprio. Instead, he did What's Eating Gilbert Grape. The movie's directed by a guy named Kenny Ortega, who directed Newsies, which is another awful film. I watched that in high school. They made me watch it. Terrible movie. I don't have good taste in movies, so don't look to me, okay? But apparently he was a choreographer. He did Ferris Bueller, which had a lot of dancing scenes. He did St. Elmo's Fire, which is a very rapey, problematic movie in today's standards. Xanadu, Madonna's Material Girl video, Pretty in Pink, and Dirty Dancing. Dirty Dancing. Which showed up on... Me and Josie did on Breaking Social Norms, we did top 10 80s movies. And of course, Dirty Dancing made the list. But he's got this magic touch. This Kenny Ortega's got the magic touch for girls that grew up in the 80s and 90s. So it's of course, this movie would check all the boxes, right? And what's funny is that the Wikipedia talks about how this film was a commercial failure. And then proceeds to confirm my then established at this point idea about the 80s and 90s girls. I'm going to read you right from the Wikipedia, which it says, it was not a critical or commercial success upon its release, possibly losing Disney around $16.5 million during its theatrical run. However, largely through many annual airings on Disney Channel and Freeform, all throughout the month of October annually, Hocus Pocus has been rediscovered by audiences, resulting in a yearly spike in home video sales of the film every Halloween season. The annual celebration of Halloween has helped make the film a cult classic among women born in the 1980s and early 90s. Isn't that something? Take a sip of pumpkin spice to that. Yeah, so it's funny because I kind of had that thought and then I confirmed it on the wiki. That was kind of funny. Now, the origins of this story, officially, this is what they say, and I'm going to prove to you they ain't telling you the truth. It says, in the 1994 TV documentary Hocus Pocus, Begin the Magic, and on the film's Blu-ray release, producer David Kirshner explains how he came up with the idea for the film one night. He and his young daughter were sitting outside, and his neighbor's black cat strayed by. Kirshner invented a tale of how the cat was once a boy who was changed into a feline 300 years ago by three witches. Now, that may have been the inspiration, but when whoever wrote the story and the script and put in the ideas in the movie, they went off of an actual satanic ritual. Not a witchcraft ritual, a satanic ritual. It's called the Black Sabbath, of all things. And I'm going to prove it to you. You think I'm making it up? You think I'm making it up? The film locations, they actually filmed it in Salem because they needed it to be... in some ways, this is a movie that's a ritual conducted every year on the masses. So they need it as authentic as they can, including bloodlines. Sarah Jessica Parker, an actual witch bloodline. And the casting director is bloodline with the witch. I'll talk about that here in a minute. And the film locations, of course, needed to be in Salem, where it happened. And there's several places. Salem Pioneer Village, that's from the opening scene. It's like oldie witch times from 1693. The actual museum represents the year 1630. It was built in 1930, though, oldest museum in America. Then you've got Max and Danny's house. Max is the boy in the movie, and Danny's his sister. A person actually lives in that house to this day. That was interesting. You've got the Ropes Mansion. This is where the elites go to party in the movie. And what was curious was that it's named after a guy who owned it named Judge Nathaniel Ropes. And they supposedly, they hated this guy because they had this conspiracy that he was loyal to the British at the time. This is 1774, right? American Revolutionary times. So homeboy gets smallpox. And conspiracy theorists from 200 years ago, they're like, oh, he got the smallpox, but he got the secret vaccine from the Brits. Inoculation from the British. And he'll be fine. He's going to get over it, this jerk. So they started throwing stones at his house. But then he died anyway. He died of smallpox inside the house. So, but what was curious was that a year later, his old lady, Abigail, died in the house because her dress caught on fire by a fireplace. And to this day, it's supposedly haunted by these two. Thus, I posit that the witches of Salem in that town back in 1774 put an actual curse on his ass. I think that happened. I don't know. Maybe, right? Then they've got Salem's Old Town Hall is a museum, and that's where they filmed the Halloween Ball, and of course the cemetery, right? So that's all you need to know about the movie going into it, and it's going to be time to spoil that plot. So if you wanted to watch this movie, turn back now. Let's check it out. It starts out, it's 1693, we're in that old-timey cabinville. There's this family named the Thackerays. Old boy's out there looking for Emily Thackeray. And he creeps up to this cabin, right? Where the three witches, the Sanderson sisters, they've got Emily subdued, right? And they're finna use her for a ritual, a witch ritual. And Thackeray, he sees the whole thing go down. And you'll notice in the story, in the movie, they use an actual spell book with a big old all-seeing eye on it. Of course, the all-seeing eye, something we've talked about many times, symbolic of the enlightenment and the hidden wisdom, the gnosis, the knowledge that Lucifer is king. That's the idea behind it, right? I mean, there's a lot of different interpretations of what it means. That's one of them. And again, like I always do, follow me on the Instagram, at Isaac Weishaupt. Link in the show notes, like and subscribe. Because I'm going to put all these images on there. You got to see them. Then when Bette Midler, she's one of the Sanderson sisters, she's preparing for the ritual, right? They got the cauldron and the spell book out and Emily's all tied up. And she does the mano cornudo, right? And it's not like in the context of rock and roll, like Ozzy Osbourne from Black Sabbath, the band, right? It's not in that context. It's in the mano cornudo context. It's a witch hex. So again, a literal witch hex in the movie. Now, they give Emily this potion, and they see that she's got this life force emitting from her, and they suck it out of her. And when they pull out her life force, they now become young and beautiful, and they make the proclamation that they're going to suck the life force out of all the children in Salem. And the boy witnesses it. Brandon Thackeray. And they put a spell on his ass too. They turn him into a black cat, so he can't tell anybody what he saw. And you'll notice the incantations, and they talk about eating kids and taking the life force from the children.
Winnie. Winnie. Sisters, prepare thyselves. Tis her life force. The potion works. Take my hands. We will share her.
Oh, Winnie, how generous of thee.
But
it's a stun!
Winifred, thou art a mere sprig of a girl.
Liar. But I shall be a sprig forever once I suck the life out of all the children in Salem.
Let's brew another batch,
you hag! There are not enough children in the world to make thee young and beautiful.
Sisters, did you hear what he called you? Whatever shall we do with him?
Let's barbecue and fillet.
Hang him on a hook and let me play with him.
No!
Book, darling,
come to mommy. Yes. His punishment must be more fulsome, more lingering. Dazzle me, my darling. Let's see, amnesia, bunions, children's cholera.
We can do better than that, I think. Let's see what we have.
Perfect. As usual.
His punishment shall not be to die, but to live forever with his guilt.
As what, Winnie, as what?
Jump back.
Twist the bones and bend the back.
Eat it, Capitan Malika Mystica.
Trim him of his baby fat.
Eat it, Capitan Malika Mystica.
Give him fur black as black, just
like this.
Now, they said they were going to fillet Thackeray. They were going to fillet him. And Sarah Jessica says that she wants to have her way with him. Right? What does all this mean? I'm going to let you come to your own conclusions on some of this stuff, but I'm going to break down some of the dark forces within this, and you can figure it out on your own, right? So the town of Pilgrims, they get down to the cabin, they break it up, they string up the Sanderson sisters, the nooses, and they throw the spell book on the ground, and the pages fly by, and I went through and I kind of like paused the screenshots, trying to read what was on these pages. And I could see some certain terms that jumped out at me from my research, including the words alchemy. And I thought, well, that's kind of odd because that's not really a part of the story. But anyone who studies the occult knows that alchemy plays a role in all of this.
Don't listen!
Over your ears!
Listen to them not!
Godly book speaks to you when All Hallows Eve and the moon is around. A virgin will summon us from under the ground. We shall be back, and the lives of all the children shall be mine.
So to me, I was like, there's some level of awareness by the people who made this movie. Why would they add that level of detail? There's even a page, and again, I'll put the photos on the Instagram. There's a page with the Magician's Pact, and it has instruction to summon demons by calling the names of the nine divine, like the Tetragrammaton and the Elohim. They have a formula for Marduk, and Marduk is always a role in these occult dark artists. Because Marduk is a Babylonian god in the Babylonian creation story, the Enuma Elish. And this story about the creation of mankind and the world also appears in the Simon Necronomicon, which we're going to cover soon. We're going to come back to that. And I'll explain what these things are in case your head's spinning. But here's the part where things get immediately very weird. I couldn't read all the pages, so I went online to see if I could get more of the text, and sure enough, they sell a copy of the Hocus Pocus spellbook on Amazon. And I gotta forewarn you, it feels like it's about 150 pages, but it's really just the same 20 pages repeated over and over. And so it's not a big read. It takes you 10 seconds to read the 20 pages, and then they just repeat it throughout, I guess, to, I don't know, give it the appearance of an actual book, maybe. But what I saw on the screenshot, I confirmed is in this book. There's a page where it talks about the Ofano Oblamo Aspergo. Like, it has all these Latin terms and these Latin names. It's the incantation for sickness is what it's called, right? And I'm not going to read it verbatim because I don't know if this like puts a spell out there and I don't want nothing to do with it. But it's basically a whole page of like what looks like names and Latin phrases. You know, I didn't go to the level of decoding the Latin translation for you. It doesn't matter. It won't matter. But the incantation for sickness has these weird terms. And I was like, I gotta know what that means. I don't know what those terms mean. So I Googled it, right? And I found the phrase came from a book written in 1978. A book called The Complete Book of Spells, Ceremonies, and Magic by Mejin Gonzalez Whippler, right? Copyright 1978, 15 years before Hocus Pocus was released. So clearly, this book was used to write the story for the screenplay for Hocus Pocus, the movie, because the incantation for sickness, this long page of probably 30 Latin phrases, terms, words, whatever, shows up verbatim in here in the satanic ritual Black Sabbath ceremony. And it's in this book, in the Complete Book of Spell, Ceremonies, and Magic, chapter 22, there's a large section. It's called The Rites of Power, Pagans, Witches, and Satanists. Because they talk about pagan rituals, witchcraft rituals. But I found it curious that the Latin phrases come from the satanic rituals. They didn't even pick the witchcraft one. They picked the satanic one. The dark arts of Disney, right? But this whole chapter discusses how ceremonial magic is used to draw down the energies of the gods into the magician. Something we've talked about for many years on this show and in my books. But it discusses the different methods to build up magical power through the pagan ceremonies, the witchcraft ceremonies, and the satanic ceremonies. And it discusses the tools used in these ceremonies with discussions on how to perform the rituals, like the, I don't know how to pronounce it, athame, the knife, the dagger, which I covered in my Midnight Gospel shows. Because there was an episode with Damien Eccles, who, again, Illuminate confirm, right? And he does it. He opens the circle, the magical circle, with the athame dagger. And that's what they use to open the circle. They call it the cone of power, right? Because they're drawing down energies into this cone of power, into the circle. And if you've watched the film The Witch, you'll know that they use that power to, like, levitate, right? In combination with the fat of a baby, of a child, of a murdered, sacrificed child. And anyways, in the book, it goes on to discuss a satanic ritual, literally satanic, like there's no way around it, which uses a goat to represent the devil behind this altar. The goat also has a giant phallus statue between its legs, and to each side of the goat sits a female witch, right? They symbolize the brides of Satan, with the goat representing Satan. And in the ceremony, they chant about denying God, denying religion, giving faith to the devil with worship and sacrifice to him. And the ceremony concludes with they kiss the culo of the goat. Yeah, it's called the Osculum Obsconum. And this is kind of like what the Knights Templar were accused of doing, and I argue did, which is very curious, because Walt Disney himself was a member of the Order of de Molay. The Order of de Molay is modeled after Jacques de Molay, Jacques de Molay being the last Grand Master of the Knights Templar. The Knights Templar being this magical group that were supposedly worshipping the goat and kissing the culo of the satanic goat, the Baphomet. Curious, huh? Curious how the Disney movie has the same vibe of all the goat-kissing satanic doctrines. Now, in the book, after the ceremony, they do all this stuff with the goat. They begin this feast, and then they have an orgy. Okay? And the foods included in the feast include human flesh, which ties us into all the adrenochrome talk and the pizza emails, right? And they play this game where they dance around naked. They call it the blind man's bluff. And the warlock, the male witch, right, puts on a blindfold and chases after all these naked witches. I think they're also blindfolded. If he catches one, he is then allowed to have his way. You know, sexy time. With who he catches. He could do what thou wilt, as they say. Now, it makes note in the book that he would desire to get the youngest one possible, because it's a contractual game, and, you know, nobody's going to say no to what has to go down because of the game. And the sexy time didn't stop there at the guy capturing some young girl. The witches would have sex with that phallus that was by the devil goat, right? And they flat out in the book, they proclaim it to be that of the devil or the demons. And I'm going to read you quotes I typed up from the book. An Elizabethan manuscript in the British Museum also notes that those witches and warlocks, not totally overcome by their frenzy for each other, recited the following chant to prolong their orgasms. Kind of like staying with his tantric sex stuff. And in the book, it says it was apparently only operable at the Sabbath, the Black Sabbath. And then it goes on and it says, Ofano, Oblamo, Aspergo, Ola, Noah, Masa, Light, Beth, Clamati, Adonai, etc. I'm not going to read it verbatim. But yeah, and like, I'm going to, if you're on my Rockfin, you can see the video. I don't know if you can zoom in far enough. It's a hard read. It's a very small font in the spell ceremony magic, but I assure you it's in there. It's page 275. And just to show you, I am not making things up because this is very much in the court of law. Incantation for sickness from the Hocus Pocus movie, from the spell book from the movie, and I have the screenshot I'll put on my Instagram proving this was in the book as one of the pages that flies by. Ofano Oblamo Aspergo. Ola, I can't even read it. Noah Massa, Light, Jeff, Clamati, Adonai, so on and so on. You get the point. So there you go. I mean, it's a direct incantation ritual of a satanic ritual and has to do with having sex. Why did all this happen? Why was this in Hocus Pocus? Why are they showing it to the kids? Why did Disney, Mr. Freemason himself, Mr. Ordre de Molay, why is he showing it to the kids? Because there's a reason for it. And stay tuned for the conclusion, because we're going to go deeper, because we got to get back to the movie. We're going to go deeper into this adrenochrome talk, kids' blood, and all that, because that's what this is all about. It's pretty wild, right? So in the movie, oh boy. So they throw the spell book down, they hang the Sanderson witches, done, right? Fast forward to modern day times, 1993, and we see that they're in a classroom, and they're explaining this story to all the kids in the classroom. And you're introduced to the main character, Max. He's the young boy from California, right? And they explain to him all about All Hallows, even, by the way, on the clock, on the wall, you see that it's 3 p.m. exactly. Exactly. They placed all these hidden symbolisms in there. And we're going to come back to that because later on, the other time is 3 a.m. It's only two times you find out about the whole movie. 3 p.m. and 3 a.m. And you know what that means. We'll go back to that. But you hear the teacher and the students embracing this witchcraft story because it's like their hometown, right? And here comes this Cali kid. And he doesn't believe it. So they dropped the knowledge on his ass.
Poor Thackeray Binks. Neither his father, his mother, nor anyone else ever knew what became of him those 300 years ago. And so, the Sanderson sisters were hanged by the Salem townfolk. Now there are those who say that on Halloween night, a black still guards the old Sanderson house, warning off any who might make the witches come back to life.
Give me a break.
Aha. Uh-huh. We seem to have a skeptic in our midst. Mr. Dennison, would you care to share your California laid-back tie-dye point of view?
Okay. Granted that you guys here in Salem are all into these black cats and witches and stuff.
Stuff.
Fine. But everyone here knows that Halloween was invented by the candy companies. It's a conspiracy.
It just so happens that Halloween is based on the ancient feast called All Hallows Eve. It's the one night of the year where the spirits of the dead can return to Earth.
What's up, everybody? Hope you're enjoying the show. Once a month, we do shout-outs on this show. And the way to get a shout-out is to become a supporter at levels Tier 2, Tier 3, or Tier 4 on my Patreon or the VIP section. Link in the show notes. You know the drill. So without further ado, let's just blast through this thing. I've got a lot of new sign-ups in the last couple months, so shout-out everyone signing up. Let's start over at Patreon, why not? Ellis, Izzy 66, Theories of Atlantis, Mary, Paul, Julie, Lieutenant Jerkoff, what's up? Faith by Reason, Your Dad. Is it my dad or your dad? It's your dad, apparently. John P. Brandon D, Holly A, Todd, Sammy Iami, Jennifer B, Genevieve, Jessica D, Marisa A, Aubrey T, Vari, Amy M, Kirby G, Liz H, Marjorie G, Rusty Shackelsford, Premier 65, Christy W, Vermont Hip Hop Collective, Joe Sauce, Charles, Danicus, Zach R, Joshua V, Russell D, Sarah B, Marsha W, Jacob R, Sam I M, Phil Goodrich Art, Jennifer, Betty, Thomas P, Mariah, Cheryl, the Cheryl, yes, Frankie L, Roxy, Ashton, Heather, Allie, Renee, Spryu, Joe Nips, Brandon L, M Gibb, Darcy D, Ailmac, Prophet 7, Jade, Robert Z, Taylor Blake, William B, Big Fezzik, Skinny Fresh, Kara, JT, KDG, and Dave W. What's up, what's up? Let's move on to, let's go tier 2 VIP section. We got Papa Dom, Matthew K, Alan R, Chris, and Hunter, both of them, Timothy S, Crystal M, Marisa A, Double Dippin', Joe F, J Poe, Jennifer B, Justin H. Oh, we got a lot of double dippers. Damian S, Elaine M. All right, that's a good one. Let's head over to tier 3. We've got Cheryl double dipping, the Cheryl, and Jason S. Shout out. Thank you everybody for your support. I've actually got two more folks. They're the tier 4 folks. But, you know, I started the tier 4 and I didn't know what to do to make it special for you. So tier 4 gets their own special shout outs. That'll be on a different show this month. So you're going to hear more when that time is right. Okay, everybody, thanks for your support. If you want to support the show, you know where to go. Links in the show notes. I got 3 platforms. I got Rockfin, where you get all kinds of stuff. Patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher, where you get all kinds of good stuff. And then the IlluminatiWatcher.com VIP section, where you get a lot of good stuff, too. And we're going to do a live stream this month, November 18th, Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern. Patreon team, get on there. The VIP, also, I'm going to shoot you an email with the link and the password for you to join as well, because the VIP section and the Patreon are very similar in their benefits. Sorry, Rockfin. I'll probably do a live stream on Rockfin, too, sometime here soon. All right, everybody, thanks for your support. Let's get back to the show. So they tell Homeboy what's up, and then he sees this girl, Allison. He's trying to spit game to her. She's like the hot girl in class, but she's kind of bullshitting with him. Whatever, he don't care. And he's got swag, right? This kid Max got swag. And he gets on his bike, he rides away, he rides through the cemetery. And what's curious is that the camera, I can't make this up, and I'll put this image on the Instagram too. The camera stops and zooms in on one tombstone. That tombstone is of one of the Sinclairs. That's the last name, Sinclair. And Sinclair family is an Illuminati bloodline. Supposedly, allegedly, right? How do I know who's in the Illuminati? But Fritz Springmeier wrote a book many, many years ago talking about the 13 bloodlines of the Illuminati. And the Sinclairs trace back through the Saint Clairs. If you read the Da Vinci Code books, this rings a bell, right? Because that was in the storyline for the Da Vinci Code. Sinclairs go back to the St. Clairs. The St. Clairs are part of the Priory of Sion, which is a secret society, right? And this is a tie into the bloodlines of the Merovingians and the Franks. But anyway, the Sinclairs, the Priory of Sion, they practice hermetic black magic, as per Fritz Springmeier. It's in his book. He said this. I'm going to read you from his book. In researching the Illuminati, it became clear that, one, these bloodlines are very important, which makes sense because of this movie, right? Like, they're obsessed with getting the right bloodlines in there. Two, that the people in high-level Satanism believe they are descendants of the House of David. And three, the Illuminati activities tied in many ways to the Priory of Sion. All right. And then in the book, he goes on and he talks about the Freeman bloodline. They were the actual leaders of the Priory of Sion. But the point is, the Priory of Sion is alleged to be into black magic, just like these Sanderson witches. Right? And the bloodlines matter because they think that there's magic in the blood. And there's more magical power in the veins of the people that are direct descendants. So Max, he's riding his bike through the cemetery. They focus in on the Sinclair family. Because it's like right in your face, right? Like, they wouldn't think that 20 years later, people would be on the internet talking about this, doing the research, right? So he crosses the path with Ernie and with these two bullies, right? The bullies in the story, Ernie and I don't remember the other guy's name. And Ernie, his name's Ice, right? This is so 93. And Iceman and the other guy, they're shaking him down. And they bully him and they get his little Nike cross trainers or whatever. And he finally gets home. And he kind of storms upstairs like, I hate this town and I hate you, Dad. And Dad is charging up what, to me, looks like a sex toy. Again, at Instagram, like and subscribe, check out the photos and tell me what you think in the comments on it. Isn't that a sex toy? In the film, you see him like, he's like playing with like a ship or something, like a ship model. But he's got this like little vibrating, I mean, I don't know if you've seen sex toys, but it looks like a sex toy. What do they call it? The flipper, the dolphin, something like that. But that, as silly as that may seem, it makes more sense. After we get through this whole analysis, I'm going to keep laying out this sexual, underlying connotations throughout this film. Not that there's anything wrong with sex, but you'll see that They already did an incantation for prolonged sex with the devil, with the Latin phrases, and there's going to be continued references to sex throughout the movie, which just seems odd for like a children's Disney movie, doesn't it? Now, his younger sister, Danny, he's got to take her out trick-or-treating, and he's like, oh, this sucks. Very, very similar to Hereditary, when the boy wants to go to the house party, and they force him to take his younger sister. That's the only connection I got. Hereditary is all about magical spells too, right? But these bullies, Iceman and whatever his name is, they want all the smoke. And Max, he wusses out again. And I have a note here. This is pretty funny. There was a great mockery of because Max is dressed like a little leaguer, and Iceman kind of he mocks him. It's pretty funny. Anyway, I found great joy in that. I love the heels in wrestling. I like the villains in the movies, so what can I do? Now, notice how unrealistic these parents are, right? And according to today's standards, they didn't have nothing to do with these kids trick-or-treating, and that's how it used to be in the 80s, right? You just went out with your friends. But nowadays, like, the parents are walking around with the kids. Anyway, that's just a side note. In fact, they bought Max. He's got a drum set. I couldn't dream of playing the drums in my house. My dad would have killed me. But, anyway, but yeah, today the helicopter parents, man, they can't let their kids live their life. Anyway, Max and Danny, they go to Allison's house, right? And Max, he's got the hots for Allison. They go to her house to do some trick-or-treating. And it's like this gorgeous mansion. And her family, they're having this old-timey party, you know, with the powdered wigs and all that. And if you look close, as I did, again, images on the Instagram, link in the show notes, they're wearing the Venetian masks. Now, if you listen to my Eyes Wide Shut analysis, you'll know there's direct connections to the, historically, those Venetian masks were intended for the orgies, the orgy parties, because you would have, it's a way of suppressing the ego to wear the mask. And that's what kind of Halloween's about, is putting on a different role so that you can kind of, you know, let loose. And that was the purpose of these Venetian masks in Venice, you know, hundreds of years ago. And you will even hear Allison say, because they're like, wow, this is a wild party. And Allison's like, yeah, they do this every year. I'll bet they do. I'll bet they do. So Danny, Max, and Allison, they all tribe up. And they're like, let's go to that Sanderson house, this museum. And it's abandoned, which I didn't really understand why. But it's abandoned, cobwebs everywhere. And we hear about the book, the spell book. And they say that the spell book was given by the devil to the witches. And that it's covered in human skin. Now, this is very curious, right? There's a practice of binding books in skin. It's called anthropodermic bibliopegy. All right? And what's curious is that the Necronomicon, which is supposedly a fictional book, is bound in human skin as well. I couldn't help but see the analogy there watching this movie. Now, the Necronomicon is, of course, modeled after the Book of the Dead. But it's a fictional book created by H.P. Lovecraft, the guy that wrote about Cthulhu in his little fictional universe. And Cthulhu, of course, being an alien that lives under the waters, and when they do a bunch of magic spells in New Orleans, it wakes up and kills everybody. So there's that, right? But the thing is that these occultists, these dark artists, they use a thing called chaos magic to reflect. They think that there's a direct reflection of the fictional to the real world. So, like, in some ways, when you make a movie about this stuff, in some ways, that can bleed over into real events. Now, occultists like Peter Lavenda, allegedly an occultist, we'll say allegedly. I don't know that he actively admits it. There's a lot of claims that he is an occultist. I've read several of his books. Very knowledgeable guy. Supposedly, he wrote the Simon Necronomicon, because we're talking about a very niche expertise and knowledge of ancient alchemy and the Arabic stuff and the Hermetic wisdom and all this stuff, and this guy's got it, right? But the Simon Necronomicon is supposed to be a real version, or it's not supposed to be, it is. It's a real version of the actual fictional Necronomicon, and it ties in with Aleister Crowley. And the Alchem, it all goes back to the cradle of civilization and the Egyptians. Alchemy comes from the teachings of Hermes. That's what the Hermetic wisdom is about, this god Hermes or Thoth, who taught magic to the people in all these Egyptian mystery schools, which went underground into secret societies and so on. But this book references the Enuma Elish, the Babylonian creation story, the story of Marduk slaying Tiamat. The idea is that Marduk slayed Tiamat and created the world from the two halves of her body. Doesn't matter. In the Hocus Pocus spell book, they have a right here in the formulas, it says, with the oil of the incantation of, I don't know, was that Ra? I don't know what that is. With the oil of the incantation of Marduk, I have made thee drip with the oil of softening, which Ra has given soothing. So they're calling upon Marduk, right? Which is like the god creator of the Babylonian, what do you call it? Creation story. Now this book, the Simon Necronomicon, this book plays a role in actual murders. Again, because they always reflect into real life. There's this guy named Rod Farrell who claimed he was a vampire in the 90s. I'm going to pull you a quote right here. He says, my bedroom was an array of the darker side of the occult, such as the Necronomicon, the Satanic Bible. I had upside down crosses. I had broken shards of glass laying around the corner. I had hooks and metal cables wrapped around, looking like Hellraiser. Yeah, homeboy said he was a vampire and started a cult and killed some people. But the Egyptian Book of the Dead that the Necronomicon is based out of, it portrays black magic, which is, again, the Hermetic black magic that the Sinclair family from the Priory of Sion practices, supposedly. And Lovecraft's fictional history of this book, believe this or not, ties into Salem. If you go to hplovecraft.com, he lays out the history. Because he says, he talks about how the book was translated from Arabic. Because the assassins and the Knight Templar, like all this Arabic stuff is where the magic stuff sort of originated. about how the book, the text was translated from Arabic to Greek to Latin and so on, okay? I'm going to read you right from the website. It says the Arabic original was lost as early as Wormius time, as indicated by his prefatory note, and no sight of the Greek copy, which was printed in Italy between 1500 and 1550, has been reported since the burning of a certain Salem man's library in 1692. An English translation made by Dr. D was never printed and exists only in fragments recovered from the original manuscript. Numerous other copies probably exist in secret, and a 15th century one is persistently rumored to form part of the collection of a celebrated American millionaire. Because it's the elites that are into this stuff, right? A still vaguer rumor credits the preservation of a 16th century Greek text in the Salem family of Pickman. But if it was so preserved, it vanished with the artist R.U. Pickman, who disappeared early in 1926. The book is rigidly suppressed by the authorities and by all branches of organized ecclesiasticism. Reading leads to terrible consequences. So, now, this is where I went deep. I went hard in the paint on you. Well, if you go on the IMDb for Hocus Pocus, look up the casting role director. What's her name? It's Carolyn Pickman. Says she's a casting director and actress. And now what's even weirder is that she seems to be from Boston. She doesn't have like a Wikipedia, but she seems to be from Boston. She teaches at all the Boston area colleges, BU, Suffolk University, etc. So this Caroline Pickman must be of the Pickman bloodline, the last ones supposedly that had the Necronomicon book. And she's the casting director for Hocus Pocus. Don't you get it? Don't you get it? It's crazy. Crazy connections to be had. Okay, keep it moving. They talk about the black flame candle while they're looking at this house. And it's supposed to summon the witches back to life if a virgin lights it on Halloween. Which is Max, right? The dork. And even says, it's just a bunch of hocus pocus, giving us the titular line that you see in some of these movies, right? But if you look up on Disney's Wikipedia, it says the black flame candle is made from the fat of a hanged man. These witches are always into the fat, the body fats, right? So dipshit lights the candle. The witches show up, and they're like, oh, I smell children, because it's about the kids, right? And here comes Max's sister, Danny, and they're like, oh, we want to eat her. Max saves her, snags the spell book. But this is obviously a problem because the witches, they need that spell book so they can make the potion so they can get the life force so they can stay alive because they're going to die if they don't. Now, here comes Thackeray Binks, this cat, the black cat from the 1600s. He's still alive because the curse makes him immortal. And he escorts protagonists throughout Salem, throughout the rest of the movie. And there's a really bizarre part because it's like cat and mouse with these, Danny, Max, Allison, and the cat versus the Sanderson sister witches throughout the rest of the film. That's basically what happens. But what's bizarre is that during this cat and mouse chase, the three witches, they get picked up by a bus driver. And he makes references to banging these chicks. And in fact, Sarah Jessica Parker is going reverse cowgirl on the bus driver's lap. And like, you may think I'm being paranoid, but I'm not. It makes sense when you consider the sex magic and the ritual incantations of the sex stuff with the witches and when it's in the movie. So anyway, they're downtown. All the kids are trick-or-treating. And everyone ends up, because Max, Danny, Allison, they all go to this, they end up going to the big adult party to get their parents, and the witches follow them, right? And Max grabs the microphone, tells everyone, hey, the witches are back, whatever. And then Bette Midler, she's like, yeah, but everyone's confused. They think they're just dressed up. They think it's a big game. Bette Midler gets on stage, and they perform I Put a Spell on You, total jump shark moment. This is where the film gets bad. We're only an hour into it, and I'm like, oh, this is terrible. But they basically, they're playing cat and mouse throughout all of Salem, the rest of the movie, and while Max is trying to get in Allison's pants simultaneously. This middle part of the film just drags on and on and on. And at some point in there, we see the bullies, Iceman and the other guy. And Ice says, it's 3 o'clock. It's now 3 in the morning. It's the second reference to time in the movie. The first one, 3 p.m., visibly, clearly shown on the clock in the classroom. The second reference is 3 a.m. And you know what that means, right? Supposedly, Christ was hung, or he hanged on the cross and died at 3 p.m. So the Satanists revere 3 a.m. as the inversion of that, as the witching hour. That's where that comes from. So how curious, of course, that's the times presented in the film. Now, there are a couple of references. I think later they say something like, oh, it's 5 a.m. or something. But I found it very curious that they specifically called out those two times. So the witches, they snag Danny, the girl, because they get the spell book from the protagonist, right? Max is he's down bad. He shows up to the museum, the cabin, and he overpowers the witches by he turns car headlights on, and that makes the witches cower. These are some sorry ass witches, if you ask me. But anyway, Max, Allison, Danny, they head to the cemetery. The witches go after him because they want Danny's adrenochrome. That's what the life force is the adrenochrome. But the cat knocks the potion out of the witch's hand. Max drinks it to protect Danny. Bette Midler now has to eat Max's adrenochrome. But keeping true to the movie, it's taking way too long. And she can't quite get it done. And the sun comes up, kills the witches. Because remember, they only had one night to make this happen. And ironically, it reminded me of the plot of Midnight Mass, that show on Netflix. So they die, and everyone lives happily ever after. The cat dies. So in conclusion, let's wrap it up. I've got a lot of wrap-up conclusion, okay? There's lots of big ideas, big finds in this one. It's kind of weird to have so much symbolism of sex in this Disney child's movie, right? In fact, the last line in the film is the cat... the cat dies. He comes back to life as Thackeray from the 1600s. But the last line of film, Thackeray Binks says, I had to wait 300 years for a virgin to light the candle. It's a focus on sex all the time. You know, all this virgin talk throughout the movie. And then we also had the bus driver going reverse cowgirl on Sarah Jessica. We had the Venetian mass, which ties us into Eyes Wide Shut at the Gnostic Orgy, which is all about adrenochrome. As I talked about in my Eyes Wide Shut shows. And the reason for all this is because of this spell book, right? Which directly tells us there's the mass ritual where the profane are joining in on the sexual magic in the Black Sabbath. And the key to all this is this book, where we revealed the connections to black magic and satanic rituals. It's in the book, it's in the film, it's real stuff. There's no hypothetically here, direct links, guilty as charged. But in that chapter, of course, we talked about there's satanic rituals and much darker stuff if you want to get into it. Do you want to get into it? Let's get into it. Chapter 22, again, the section about the Black Sabbath satanic ritual. It details the satanic prayer, okay? And it says the satanic prayer is all about initiating new disciples. And here's the part you're going to better clutch them pearls. Clutch them pearls real tight. Here we go. It says this ceremony contained probably the most obscene element of all, for the new member was required to bring with him or her a liquid made from the flesh of a child. It then details how to make this liquid. Says those to be called to the devil's service lie in wait for children. These are often found dead by their parents, and the simple people believe that they have themselves overlain them or that they died from natural causes. But it is we who have destroyed them. For that purpose, we steal them out of the grave and boil them with lime till all the flesh is loosened from the bones and is reduced to one mass. You remember that at the beginning? when the three witches and Bette Midler, they talk about the bones and that spell when they're getting the adrenochrome from Elizabeth Thackeray. But anyways, it goes on and talks about how they drink this fluid. And the initiate who drinks the fluid goes on to profess, they deny God, they deny religion, they curse and blaspheme and provoke God, they give faith to the devil. There's no hiding it. So why? Why did this happen? I argue, and I believe, there's no denying it, the writers researched these actual satanic rituals in this book, put the verbatim text into the film in the spell book, thinking there was no way anyone was going to find this out. Does this mean they're worshiping Satan? I have no idea. Maybe it's just a joke. Seems to be modeled pretty realistically after a satanic ritual. Seems concerning to me. To think it's just a silly prank, like when they draw phalluses on the cover of Little Mermaid or whatever. Like, sometimes I see that and I think, I don't know, maybe it's just a sick, twisted, not funny joke. But for this, I'm like, this goes so far beyond that. But if you look at the same book about that I'm referencing with the ritual, it says that the satanic ritual is, the aim is raw power at any cost. In fact, the black magician basks in the most impure and vile actions in order to be in greater harmony with the evil forces. I'm going to read it one more time, because I think this is the key. It says, the aim is raw power at any cost. In fact, the black magician basks in the most impure and vile actions in order to be in greater harmony with the evil forces. So it's a power thing. And of course, we got the adrenochrome angle. We've talked about it a million times. And I got some more info on that for you, if you're not tired of it yet. The adrenochrome thing is very fascinating. I talked about this a lot in 2020. I did a bunch of shows on QAnon, the whole series for the World of the Worlds, which I'm not going to spoil the plot, but it's definitely about adrenochrome. They show you in the show. And this goes back to the pizza emails that we still haven't got an explanation for. And I wrote in Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult, Use Illusion 1 that I think this is where they might be taking us. Feeding the babies to the alien demon gods like they did in Moloch in Babylon. Taking us back to Babylon, right? And, you know, just like we talk about with my show on the Squid Game symbolism, you got to refer to my July 2020 show about the Wayfair conspiracy, one of the most downloaded shows I've done, 42,000 views and counting. We talked about the human furniture element that you see in the Kubrick films, like Lolita, Clockwork Orange, Eyes Wide Shut. Eyes Wide Shut again, right? And in Clockwork Orange at the Moloko Milk Bar, Moloch, the Moloch Bar, you see Drencome on the wall, adrenochrome. And you could go into Marina Abramovic and all that stuff. But the basic idea here is that the Illuminati who practice satanic dark arts, they eat the babies and the children much like these witches did. Some say it's for the pineal gland. That's where the adrenochrome comes from. But there are lots of facts about kids going missing every year. Look at Laura Silsby and how the Clintons got her out of Haiti when she was smuggling kids out of there. The list goes on and on. But the occultist, like Aldous Huxley, he discussed it in The Doors of Perception as a product of the decomposition of adrenaline. And he said it was something like mescaline. And they were really into mescaline back then, okay? Which Aleister Crowley hooked Huxley up with the mescaline to begin with. And also Aleister Crowley in the Book of the Law, in his Thelemic Gnostic Mass, it calls for the blood of a young boy. I mean, who's making this stuff up? Hunter S. Thompson talked about it, right? You remember that? And just like I did when I did a show about Dr. Sleep, which is the same exact story. They keep showing us the same story. Because in Dr. Sleep, Danny's fighting the vampires, the True Knot, who take the life force from the children, the adrenochrome. But in Hunter S. Thompson's Fear and Loathing, he says he got adrenochrome from a satanic freak. And that satanic freak was also a child molester. So there's something with the kids, right? And I certainly don't understand why or where this comes from. Anyhow, what's something new? Well, there's something new I can talk about with this that blew my mind. Shout out at Infinity Loke. Oh boy, that's a weird name. Shout out you on Twitter. Send me this news article from 1917, the Falkirk Herald. And it says some really bizarre stuff. And strangely enough, while I was researching that article, because it was talking about pineal gland and adrenochrome, and you can like Google that and you can read it. But when I was researching for that article, New York Times in 1984 had an article about the pineal gland. I'm going to read you from it. I'm not going to read you the whole thing. It's a lot. But it's talking about René Descartes looking for the soul. And it talked about how some of the scientists were deciding that the pineal gland in humans had no important function, but new scientific evidence shows that it does perform some good things. It says the pineal body, sometimes called the pineal gland, is a small structure in the center of the brain. Blah, blah, blah. It says the new evidence indicates that the pineal body is a powerful factor in the hormonal changes that usher in adolescence. It seems to work through a hormone it secretes called melatonin that inhibits the chemistry of sexual maturation. The pineal body is believed to be the human body's only source of melatonin. New research seems to show that melatonin production in early childhood keeps the reproductive system quiescent. Later, the sex hormones begin to flourish as melatonin production wanes. Blah, blah, blah. It goes through some more stuff. And here's the conclusion here. It says, the pineal product, currently believed responsible for the effect on sexual maturity, was discovered in 1958 by scientists at Yale University, home of the Skull and Bones. They showed that the pineal body produced a hormone now called melatonin that caused the skins of frogs to blanch. They're turning the frickin' frogs horny. But its function in mammals remained a puzzle. And here's the summation of it at the end of the article. It says, the new evidence suggests strongly, although it does not prove, that melatonin acts as an early childhood restraint on sexual maturation. So there we go. The scientists, they've been researching the pineal gland and its effect on sexuality in children. Now, I don't have a clear, I just see red flags is what I'm trying to say. I don't know how this all ties together. I just know there's a lot of references to it, okay? But it's saying there that the pineal gland creates the melatonin hormone that prevents children from reaching their sexual maturity. So if I'm one of these weirdo dark artists and I think there's a way I can... I don't even want to postulate this stuff, right? It gets into some real dark territory. Like I said, I'm laying it all out. You come to your own conclusion. Just don't hurt anybody, okay? That's all I ask. Like, some people get all wrapped up and they want to, like... They want to, I was going to say storm the Capitol, but you know what I'm saying. There's a lot of weird stuff, and I think we need to figure out what's going on. Like, I'm always in that camp. Let's figure out what's going on. But in conclusion, let's wrap it up. You've heard enough. Hocus Pocus, in conclusion, has direct and clear references to stealing the life force from children. It's a tale about adrenochrome through the dark arts. It also has these direct references to ritualistic sex with the Venetian masks. I'll try to put links in the show notes for the Eyes Wide Shut episodes. I'm 6 episodes deep on it. So, and you keep finding stuff. It's crazy. Talk about the virgins needing to light the candles for the resurrection. The spell book talking about sex with demons and the actual verbatim Latin phrases from the actual witchcraft book for a satanic ritual. Where there was witch orgies with goats that were supposed to be Satan, they're using the incantations for extending the orgasms. Some kind of blue chew for the dark arts, right? They definitely did all this on purpose. The bloodline of the Necronomicon holder is Pickman, and that's the casting director, Caroline Pickman, of the film. So I've got a copy of the Hocus Pocus spellbook and the reference book for the Elizabethan magic incantation, and they match up verbatim. There's no denying. So there you go. Illuminate confirm Hocus Pocus all day. That's probably the most illuminate confirm thing I've ever researched. And there's a sequel slated for 2022. So let's see what's up. I wouldn't have considered this movie, but, you know, amazing connections to be had here. Not my cup of tea, but like every other Disney movie that I've suffered through. It's got all the things. I mean, can you believe it, right? Now, here's some things I want to leave you with. If you're new to all this, and you don't understand what I'm saying half the time, you got to read my books. I've got like 9 books out there on Amazon, Audible. You can get signed paperbacks on my Gumroad store, gumroad.com/IsaacW. But if you're looking to start out, get The Dark Path. That's my highest rated, highest reviewed, highest read book. And it's like the high octane fuel booster that'll catch you up to what's going on in the world today. And if you're not ready for that level of commitment, that's fine too. I got something easier. I want you to share this episode with a friend. Do you know anybody that likes this movie? Have them listen to it. That'll wake them up. And look, you can't have arguments with these people. You can't fight with them. You just got to be like, huh, isn't this something? Take a listen to this. What do you think about that? And they're going to deny it. And they're going to say, oh, the crazy conspiracy guy. But it's going to sink in there. It's a seed. Plant the seed with your finger. And share this episode. Because look, I've been doing this for 10 years. Analyzing films, ritual magic, the occult. And this might be the most perfect example of entertainment. Disney, no less. Baking ideas of the occult into the film, specifically aimed towards the kids. So it explains why all these 80s, 90s girls are into all this new age woo-woo, astrology, occult, tarot reading stuff. Because they've been baked into this. They've been showing you since you were little kids. Hocus Pocus, the Harry Potter, Lucifer show. I mean, the list goes on and on. They're trying to plant acceptance of the New World Order, which, as we've talked about many times, it's all about Luciferianism. The new global world religion centered around the worship of Lucifer. So there you go. Hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to go to my Instagram, like and subscribe, check out the photos, tell me what you think in the comments. You think Max's dad is playing with a sex toy? I don't know, you tell me. Link in the show notes as always at Isaac Weishaupt on the Instagram. And you know what to do. You can get the books, get The Dark Path, Audible. I read it for you. If you don't want to do that, share this episode with a friend, or better yet, do all three. All right, folks. Thanks for your time. Thanks for listening. And until next time, stay woke.